Welcome to the Coco Express, part of the Blog. Welcome to the Coco Express, part of the Blog Talk Radio Network. Your host on the Coco Express is Aurelia Lyles. She's all about self-expression, communication, and getting the word out. So jump on, see where it goes. Oh, and have a good time.
Yes, hi.
Hi, hold on. We're going to let the kids have you, so they're in charge now. Okay, everybody, let's go.
Okay.
First question.
Hello?
Hi. Anthony, can you give us a little background on what made you become an artist?
All right, what was the question again?
What made you become an artist?
Oh, well, there was a, in public school, there was a, my art teacher looked at my zigzags and my splish-splash scribblings and felt that I had something that was special. So they encouraged me along with my parents, and one thing led to another. You know, I started drawing, and the so much reinforcement, you know, it really made me see what they saw. So I just kept drawing and drawing, and of course I had taken classes at different places. And, you know, all of a sudden, you know, I became this artist.
Now, like you said, taking classes in different places like where?
Okay, in public school, I grew up in Wilmington, Delaware. And there at the time there was a school called the Delaware Art Museum School. Was way across town and actually the rich section of town. I mean, they had homes that were the size of my school that I attended. So, I mean, I attended classes there, and, you know, I had still life drawing classes, and I had live drawing classes as a child in adult environments. So I got exposed to art very, very early.
I believe we have a question from here. Hi, Mr. Fletcher. I wanted to know if you had worked on previous projects or was the C-Squared Posse your first project?
Okay, C-Squared and Posse project is actually, I guess I may have been working on this all of my life, and I say that because the ideas for it, they didn't just spring up overnight. But over time, I kept, you know, adding to an idea, and I kept calling out as I was doing graphic design jobs for different places. I kept calling out to the creator to send me something special that would be my own, that would allow me to utilize all of my talents, because I'm not just a visual artist. I'm also a writer, and I like to do social things. You know, I have like a social consciousness that pervades all of my fine art work. And I wanted to find an avenue that I can like instill it into stories that would motivate and inspire young people.
Thank you. That was great. Hi, Mr. Fletcher. This is Levasia. I wanted to know, did you ever get discouraged at any time while you were pursuing your career?
Wait a minute. I'm sorry. I didn't hear your question. Could you repeat it, please?
Did you ever get discouraged while you were pursuing your career?
Yeah. I get a lot of discouragement because, you know, like, people in society sometimes resist change. And new artists, you know, anytime you do something that's new and fresh, you know, there's automatically going to be a certain segment of society that doesn't want to accept it. And the only reason why they don't accept it is because it's new. Okay. And that's not the artist who created it. It's not their fault. You know, it's just that, you know, society has to catch up to where the vision of the artist is taking them. You know, if you look throughout history, you know, art isn't done for yesterday. Art is always created for the future. So mankind and children and people have to look towards the future. And when they do that, then they're more receptive to accept change.
So how did you overcome it?
It's a work in progress. You know, I overcome it by sustaining a faith in what I've created and to know that there's nothing that is in front of me that I cannot handle. You know, there's no way that the Creator is going to put something on my plate that I'm not ready for. So I have to trust and faith and have faith in that concept and then persevere through any obstacle that comes my way.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Hi, Mr. Fletcher. This is Sierra. I wanted to know, do you just have like a schedule of time where you do your artwork or do you just come to
you? Wait a minute. The signal is kind of like choppy. So I didn't really hear your question at all. Could you repeat it, please?
Okay. I wanted to know, do you have a scheduled time when you do your artwork, or do you just do your artwork whenever it comes to you?
Well, no, I do have a scheduled time. It's like actually creating art for me is actually my 9-to-5. So right now I'm actually working on the next episode, which episode 4, which is the premiere episode that you guys have, that is only 20 pages, but the next episode, which is episode 5, is actually 38 pages. So I've actually turned the volume up on the character property in general. Now, I work 9-to-5 on it. What I'm doing, I'm writing, I'm sketching, and I'm coloring. And then I have to lay out the book. But then I'm also designing logos for different clients, and I'm also working on web pages. There's actually going to be a new website for C Squared and Posse that will launch probably January of 2010. So, and many times I'm up all night because my mind is kind of like just overpowering itself. It just keeps running and running, and I keep coming up with more ideas, and I don't want to lose anything, so I have to jot them down. And I have a notative format that I use. But sometimes you just have to, you know, you can't tell when an idea is going to come to you, because a lot of times you can sit down and you can say, okay, I'm ready for this idea, and nothing comes. So you could be watching a basketball game. You could be watching the Lakers. And then all of a sudden you get this idea, and you're like, yo, that's the idea that I was asking for previously. And you have to run and get some paper and jot it down so you don't lose those initial impulses. So in reference to that, it's like, you know, you can wait for the idea to come. And it's going to come to you, but it doesn't always come when you're looking for it.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Hi. Have you ever worked with
someone? Repeat that again, please.
My name is Aja, and have you ever worked with other people?
Wow, I didn't hear that at all. I mean, I think there's something wrong with the signal here.
Have you ever worked with other people to make your comic book?
Oh, okay. Well, not, yeah, well, there's a gentleman that helped me with this comic book. He did some thumbnails for me, and his name is Chris Royal. But as far as, like, working on comic books, this is actually my total vision. So I haven't worked with, you know, I haven't worked on any other comic books for any other people. What I have done is I've done oil paintings and CD covers and LP covers and, you know, illustrations like that, you know, for other people. You're welcome. Hi.
I wanted to know, like, where did you get the inspiration for your characters in the comic book?
Okay, the inspiration for C Squared and Posse stems from my three nephews, and their names are Junbae, Jeffrey, and Jermaine. And as they were growing up, you know, I wanted to do something to emulate them. You know, a lot of the characters stem from their personalities. And, you know, I had noticed that, you know, a lot of the material that they had that they would, you know, read from time to time, it didn't really convey any aspect of their own lives. I mean, no one has ever really portrayed teenagers from the inner city of different ethnicity as heroes. So I felt that, you know, it was time that someone did that. And as an artist that's always pursuing something new, you know, I'm always trying to design for the void, meaning that whatever is missing, whatever you determine is missing, you create something to fill that slot. So the idea that teenagers from the inner city have never been portrayed as heroes bothered me. So in reference to that, I said, I'm going to define inner city heroes.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hi, Mr. Fletcher. This is Leticia. Hi,
Leticia.
How many years have you been an artist with comic books?
I would say with the comic book concept, it's got to be at least 10 years old, the concept for it. But I've been an artist, you know, professionally for like 30 years at least.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm Mr. Fletcher. It's the teacher.
Hi.
I wanted to know, was there any intended moral behind your comic book?
You said, was there any morals behind it?
Like intended morals.
Yeah, well, the goal is, you know, I wanted to convey, particularly to inner city teenagers of different ethnicity, that just because you dress in the latest fashions and speak the latest slang and can do all the great dances, that those particular attributes don't make you a human being. That to truly be human is an acquired skill. And in order to acquire the skill, you have to develop and utilize human attributes that I call in the C Squared and Posse Inner City Heroes character property the codes for life. And what that is like, actually there'll be like a lot more codes, but some of the first five codes that I listed in the book are called always bring the funk. And I translate that to mean only your best effort will do. And then the next one is respect all cultures, including your own. Because many times people will respect someone else's culture, but they won't identify and respect their own. And I say utilize the wisdom of the elders, and that includes aunts, uncles, and grandparents. And then believe in yourself, even when common sense says give it up. You know, there'll be chances, there'll be opportunities in your own life, you know, that you'll be working on something and you feel that you can't do it. For whatever reason, you just feel, I'm not going to be able to do this because I just can't do it. I've never done it before. At that point, that's your breakthrough right there. So you can't give it up. You have to persevere. So I'm trying to send that signal out to each child that reads the book that even when common sense says give it up, you still got to believe in yourself. And then the other one says protect the earth, because if we don't do it, who will? So my idea is, you know, that my particular characters, they don't have guns and they don't have weapons. All they have are these codes for life that they're using and they're developing and they're nurturing. And when they use them, that becomes their superpower to defeat the bad guys who have superpowers.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm Mr. Fletcher. This is Minister Tony.
How you doing?
Pretty good. Thank you for sharing your time today. I had a couple questions. One is your comic is very cutting edge and it's new and unique, especially to churches. So I wanted to see how has the church in general, how have they perceived the comic? Have they taken it in, or have they given you criticism? And then where exactly are you pushing the comic into different venues?
Okay. As far as I know, I mean, there might be two churches in Wilmington, Delaware, that are using the book. You know, they signaled out the codes for life. They really like that. Now, there's a couple of schools that are using it also, like Newark High School in Delaware, and there's a school called it's a charter school called Aaron Dudley Forbes School in Oxford, PA. They're using the book also. So, I mean, I agree, it is cutting edge. I mean, it's not cutting edge because I made it that way. It just happens to be that way, you know. And as far as, like, where the book is being sold, the book is available at Barnes & Noble's. It's on Amazon.com. Plus, you can purchase it directly from my website. So even if you were to Google C Squared and Posse, or even Google Art Tony World or Anthony C. Fletcher, you know, elements of the book on different websites for different price ranges will come up. You know, but the only autographed book that's being sold comes directly from me, from my website, which is arttonyworld.com.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay.
My name is Talia. Where did you get Tony Jesus character?
Oh, wait a minute. Say that again.
Where did you get Spoonie Breeze the character from?
Okay, Spoonie Breeze. Spoonie Breeze, he actually has a little bit of Michael Jordan in him, okay? And I wanted to kind of mix things up, you know? And what I mean by that is normally, you know, an African-American is the drummer in a band, you know, because there's so much rhythm that's running through the DNA. And the property is designed to be embracive across all ethnicity. So in reference to that, I made Spoonie Breeze, who is a Caucasian-American, I made him the drummer of the band, okay? And he loves jazz and urban contemporary music. And then he's got this legendary jump shot in the neighborhood, okay? And I could have very easily made the African-American C-squared that way, but the whole thing was I wanted to create a different analogy, you know? It's like I wanted to destroy stereotypes, you know, and say, hey, what if this character was like this, you know? And that way it sends another signal to people to say, hey, you know, let's break through these stereotypes.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Patrick.
Okay, you're welcome.
I wanted to know, when you finished school, did you automatically know you wanted to be an artist, or did you venture out into different areas?
Well, actually, I always knew I was going to be an artist. I mean, I started off, I played clarinet, and then I played the trumpet for like 8 years, and I grew up around a music family. But as I would practice, you know, the calling for visual art became stronger and stronger than music. So I knew that, you know, at some point I was going to have to make a decision. And when that decision was made, my art went from doing still life to doing images that were really compelling and that had a lot of spirit in it, you know, that became timeless in a way. So it's like I'm still learning, you know, right now. I mean, it's like every 10 years there's a new technological change, and artists have to adjust and learn these new technologies. But, you know, I'm never at a point where I know everything, you know, because anytime you get at that point, you're starting to become stale, you know. So it's like I'm always in motion, and in a sense, I'm always a perpetual student. So, you know, you have to look at everything out here is teaching something, okay? And it's like there's many things that are teaching things that are not positive, you know? So in reference to that, when I created C-Squared and Posse, I wanted every aspect of this to be positive. You know, even though there's an evil component that the bad guys, you got to have some bad guys somewhere. But the whole thing was, you know, granted it's for enjoyment and it's entertainment, but even in entertainment and enjoyment, you're still learning something, you know?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hi.
You have a question?
Do you have any other books that you publish?
Your question is, are there any other books like this? Oh, no, this is my first book. This is actually my first book. I mean, I have some paintings that are published as, you know, prints and posters. But as far as a book, this is actually my first book. Welcome.
This is Fred, this is real. I have a quick question for you. Can you
okay.
give us a little bit of background about all the places you've traveled to and the different places you've visited?
Wait, hold up. You're talking real fast at the signal.
Okay, I'll slow down for you.
Okay.
Okay, we need to know your resume a little bit, okay? Can you just give us a little background about your resume? The places that you, you know, visited, the artists you've done, artwork.
Oh, okay. Well, let's see. Elementary school, I would say in the second grade, my public school art teacher said, that boy must be gifted. So they made arrangements for me to attend a professional art school, you know, as an experiment. Okay. Like every 3 days a week, I was bused to the Delaware Art Museum School, and I studied drawing and painting, okay? And then when I graduated from high school, okay, I attended Florida A&M University, and I'm trained as an art teacher. But I really wanted to really teach art by being a working professional. So I had come to New York, and I tried the traditional format, which was you take your slides and a resume of where you've exhibited your artwork, and you go to the galleries. So I went to the top galleries in Soho, and one particular gallery, Leo Castelli Gallery, they looked at my work, and they said, man, your work is fantastic. I said, but you are a black artist. So you need to go to a black gallery, and if they accept you and you start selling, then we might take another look at you. And I was like, oh, okay. So then I go to a black gallery, you know, and then they look at my art and they say, yeah, you got some great art here, but your art is not black art. And I was like, what? what does that mean? You know, they couldn't explain to me what that meant, but, you know, one of the curators that showed me a piece of art that had kente cloth in it. And it was like, you know, black art, according to that particular individual, was you got to have some kente cloth in it. So I say that to say that art is so subjective, you know, that someone's scribblings might mean genius, and then someone's photorealistic artwork might mean nothing to another curator. You know, it's all subjective. But what has to happen is you have to believe in your work and believe that you will find your market, you know, based on the credibility that you're putting across and the spirituality that's within the components of your art. So, you know, I had to juggle some things. It's like, you know, granted, I couldn't get into the galleries that way. I still had to pay bills, so I learned how to do graphic art, you know, because I have strong graphic sensibilities, so I learned how to design covers for books and design ads and do illustration. And then all of a sudden in my mind, I'm coming up with this idea for C Squared and Posse. And over time, I kept putting in just, you know, a little bit here, a little bit there, you know, until I got it to a point where, you know, I said, you know what, this thing is ready to come out here and experience the world. So that's where I'm at now.
Great, thanks.
Okay, you're welcome.
I wanted to know, did your parents ever, did your family ever think that you didn't have the potential to be an artist?
Okay, you said, did my parents ever think what?
That you didn't have the potential to be an artist.
Okay, I didn't hear the last part, but I'm thinking you want to know if my parents were supportive of my art?
Yes.
Yeah, my parents were real supportive of my art. I attended some Saturday classes that were in another state as a child. And my dad, every Saturday, he would drive me to Philadelphia, to the Philadelphia Institute of Art. You know, and he would sit around for a couple of hours while I was in this abstract painting class with this French instructor. You know, painting abstract imagery that no one could understand, you know, and I'm sure my dad didn't understand it either, but for some reason he just felt that, you know, this is the class that my son wants to take, you know, I'm going to encourage him, I'm going to support him, I'm going to let him do it. You know, that's one thing. I mean, many times, well, you know, the child is the symbol of the future, okay? And as many times that the things that kids want to do and will do, parents who are in another time zone won't really understand it. But what they have to understand is that the child is the future, and you have to have faith in that, you know? Because, you know, a lot of parents, you know, they won't, I mean, I'm looking back, and I look at some of my artwork, and I'm trying to imagine, like, some of the thoughts that my parents would have. And it's like, I know that they didn't understand any of that stuff because I didn't even understand it. But what they understood was this was their child, and that they wanted to support their child, so they have faith in it.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Hi, this is Lavaise again. I wanted to know, when you look back at your comic book, what do you feel? Like, how do you feel knowing that you want to do all the work in it with all of your ideas?
Well, when I look at the book, I like the tone of it. You know, I like the overall feel of it. I like the way that it's printed and the paper and the colors and all of that. But even with that comment, I see that there are ways that I can improve it. And that's what I'm doing in the next episode. So it's like, yeah, the whole thing was I want to make it a little bit more easier to follow, you know, because I'm instituting something I call animating the page, whereas I have arrows that guide the reader across the page. I didn't want them to get bored. You know, I wanted to guide the eye and move the eye. You know, I didn't want the traditional, you know, left-right panel, down, left-right, next page. I wanted to follow just a little bit of that, but I wanted to blow that out with, like, full pages and you know, double-page bleeds and stuff like that, you know. So, I mean, I like those ideas, and I really love what I've created. It's just that, you know, I can't do the books quick enough. You know, I mean, later on I'll have a staff that can help, but right now it's like, you know, I think that's probably why I'm up all night, because, you know, it's just so much that I want to do with this, and there's so much, there's not enough time in a day, pretty much. Okay.
Let's see, we have the possibility of we have to call this time. However, if you want to call in and you have questions you would like to ask Mr. Fletcher, the number is 347-637-2319 and press 1 so that we can see you. Let's see, I think I have one call on the line. It's 8836. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, hi. Thank you.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Anthony, I'm listening to what you're saying with your book and everything, and I haven't had a chance to pick it up. I have a 7-year-old. Is this book geared for him to read? Because I don't know anything about it. I haven't done any research, and I was calling in to see if it would be something that would interest him.
Oh, yes, definitely. It would be something that would interest him. I mean, because what I've actually done is I've combined formats. I've combined the concept of a picture book with a graphic novel. And even though it's drawn like a comic book, it's actually a bigger format. It's like 8.5 by 11 inches. Okay.
All right, so I will definitely pick it up because he's into reading and, you know, he likes comic books, so I would definitely pick it up. And I wish you all the luck in the world with everything that you're going for.
Oh, thank you.
Happy holidays.
Same to you. Happy holidays.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Wow, that's nice. A caller. Cool. Woo!
Hi, Mr. Fletcher. This is Ikea once again, and I wanted to know, if you look back in time, was there anything that you would have done differently, or is there anything that you would have revised about your comic book?
I think what I would have done differently was I think I would have stayed with music a little bit more, because right now, like, I used to be able to read music. And the fact that I stopped is like, you know, to start over, you know, I haven't made time to do that. And the fact that the C-Squared and Posse character property is actually a band of musicians that discover this evil plot to destroy life on Earth, the band part, the music part, is a component that I'm really excited to get involved in. But the only thing is, I picked my trumpet up maybe a year ago, and I tried to play it. I couldn't believe that I used to play that. I mean, I tried to play a scale, and my head started hurting, and my chest started hurting. I couldn't believe that I ever played that instrument. But in reference to that, I mean, there's computers and all. You can do music with that. But, you know, music is still a big part of me. And I even look at myself as a visual musician, because when I'm arranging visual images on a page and also arranging colors, you know, I'm creating beauty. And it's actually each visual has a sound with it. So I'm actually creating sounds on another level. But in reference to the music part, is like if I was still able to read music, then I could sit down and write music for my character property, which I don't have the skill set to do, but I still hear it in my head. So, which means I'm going to have to partner with some musicians to bring that music to life. So, if I had it to do all over again, I would have kept the music side of me in place. I don't know how I would have been able to do that and do this art too. I don't know, but when I look back, I'm saying there had to have been a way that I didn't see where I could keep both of those elements at their peak.
Okay, I have another question. In the future, do you see the comic book turning into maybe a TV series, like a cartoon show?
Yes, definitely. This property, I created this for every single industry. I mean, it's actually a property that embraces all industries. So animation, books, apparel. I mean, I already have some T-shirts that I designed and had printed. Matter of fact, you could buy that offline, too, on the website, arttonyworld.com. But, I mean, I designed some accessories, which would be like backpacks and messenger bags that have the character property images on them. Of course, we want to do the music. So the music, in my mind, I'm envisioning C-Squared and Posse actually becoming the Earth, Wind, and Fire of this time. Not saying that I'm going to copy Earth, Wind, and Fire's music, but just the importance of Earth, Wind, and Fire throughout the 70s and early 80s was like such a spiritual, commercial, beautiful, loving band. And I've always had that idea and that feeling in my heart, and I've written it into my character property. So definitely animation, like an animated TV show. Even now, the way the technology is, it doesn't have to be broadcast on TV. It could be broadcast over the web, which is probably the way that it's going to happen anyway. So we're looking at an animated series. We're looking at different learning books with the character property. You know, my character, Peppermint Tea, she's got a green thumb. So there's a plant industry out there that's thriving, that's just waiting for Peppermint Tea to be the number one property so that they can embrace it. So, I mean, there's a lot of elements that are written into this property, and it all stems from this one book.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Hi, Mr. Fletcher. I'm Gloria Cartwright Hunter, the director of the Just Speaking to. And I have more of a positive mode for you. I like what you're doing, and especially today with all the crime we have with our youth and direction, I think it would be good to get you out there. Maybe there are more youth that would like to go in your direction. I can see it happening. And I see here that my youth here are very interested and they like the idea of your comic book. So I'm just giving you a positive note that I see this going forward in the future, and I will pray for it, and I will keep in contact because I would like our church to get involved with this. You spoke to Minister Tony. He's into rap, so he teaches rap. We work together. So this is something that I think would be great for the youth. So we're going to try to keep up with you so we can get this out in this church here, something positive for kids to see, because that's what we need. And I just embraced one of your modes that you had in the back about listening to that includes aunts, uncles, and grandparents, because a lot of the youth feel that things from coming from older people would not be promising or would not be something that would be positive to them, which is, it is the reverse, that it is. They've been there, they've done it, so they know what could keep you going forward and keep you going into a positive mode. So I just give, I'm honored to be able to talk to you today and to let my youth see how you have, where you come from, how you love what you do, and I like theater, I love what I do. So I'm just honored to be able to talk with you today. So I just wanted to know that. And thank you.
Oh, thank you also. You know what? I'd be interested in coming out to your church and meeting with your students, you know, because, I mean, the whole property is totally embraceive. I mean, I don't know if I've mentioned, but I created a way where there's the same level of action and adventure, but there aren't any guns in this property. You know, it's like if somebody wants guns and all that, then they had to go somewhere else. Go to DC Comics and Marvel. There's enough of that out there. And granted, there's a market for that. But with the property that I've created, I wanted to create some balance. You know, I wanted to say, hey, you don't have to be shooting up people and all that in order to have fun. You know, there's another component here. I want teens and kids to embrace their intellect, because I'm not talking down to kids or teens. I'm talking up to them. You know, I'm saying, you know, here, I'm presenting information, you know, and I'm letting kids put it together. I'm not giving them judgment calls or anything. I'm saying, hey, you could put that together. And I think more of that has to happen, because even though, like C-Squared and Posse has a learning component, the learning part of it is sweetened up and hidden with colors and with captivating characters. And in that way, kids are playing, teens are playing, but parents and teachers know that they're learning something. And what are they learning? They're learning how to respect different cultures. You know, they're learning the codes for life, like to always bring the phone, you know, that only your best effort will do. That you can apply across the board to everything that you do. You know, someone has to translate that in a language and in a format that kids can embrace it readily and easily, you know. And that's part of what I'm trying to do with C-Squared and Posse, Inner City Heroes.
Thank you, Mr. Fletcher, and Minister Tony and I would be honored to have you. So we will get in touch with you. We'll be talking to you so we can make that happen, okay? Because it's about the youth, like you said. It's about them. So we will make that happen, okay?
Okay,
you.
I appreciate that. Cool.
Hello, Mr. Fletcher. I guess we're coming close to the time for our time, and it's up. Everyone here would like to say thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Fletcher.
Oh, wow. Thank you also. Cool.
Okay. That's our show for today, Saturday, December 12th, 2009. Please join us next week when our regular host, Aurelia Live, will have something cooking good with Chef Jeff Taylor. He's the president of the Culinary Association of the Columbus Chapter. You can get all the details on the website, www.cocoaexpress.com. I would like to thank you for joining us, and I would also like to thank you for the Brown Memorial Baptist Church's Bountiful Drama Ministry, headed by Gloria Cartwright Hunter and Mr. Tony. That's it for today, and thank you all. Have a wonderful day.
All right.
This is our stop for now. So come back soon and hang out with Aurelia Lyle from the Cocoa Express. See where she goes next. Until then, keep it real.